Airbus has a huge problem.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Not only is the A380 a massive airplane, it can carry 555 passengers, but the super jumbo jet has been a massive headache for European plane maker Airbus. Airlines that ordered the A380 were told this week they'll have to wait another year to get it. Today, board members of Airbus's parent company are meeting to figure out damage control. More now from Ashley Milne-Tite.
The Middle East's Emirates Airlines is the biggest A380 buyer with 43 planes on order, and the first won't be ready until August 2008. Airline consultant Michael Boyd says these delays prove Airbus took on more than it could handle with the Super Jumbo.
I think they need to consider cutting their losses because this is not going to be a big seller. It's not going to have a great deal of demand, and that could have been understood 3 years ago.
But Flight International magazine's Guy Norris says there's no way Airbus will cut and run. Despite the problems, building this plane has been a huge technical achievement.
To do a U-turn at this stage would be unthinkable. And the long-term potential of this program, particularly if they go for the next version, could be a big earner for them in the end of this decade and into the next.
Still, while Airbus is struggling to get its giant plane off the ground, US rival Boeing has scored an industry hit with its 787 Dreamliner. It's smaller and lighter than the A380, and it's seen three times as many orders. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Well, it finally happened. The Dow broke its all-time closing record. Actually, Boeing shares helped push the Dow over the top. The index gained 0.5% to finish at 11,727. That's 5 points above the record set in 2000. The Nasdaq climbed almost 0.3. Today, oil prices continued their free fall. They're closing in on $58 a barrel. We got some numbers this week that showed the slowdown in the housing market might be leveling off. But a report out this morning predicts we ain't seeing nothing yet. Janet Babin has more.
The Moody's Economy.com report projects that median prices for existing homes will fall next year by an average of more than 3.5%. That would be the first such decline in home prices since the Great Depression. The report also predicts that the losses will be broad-based, affecting more than 100 metro areas. But Moody's economist Mark Zandi says housing markets that enjoyed the biggest boom will also likely suffer the deepest decline.
There will be 20 or so markets across the country where we will see what I would call a crash in prices, meaning double-digit decline in pricing. Places like the Southwest Florida, around Washington, D.C., parts of the Central Valley of California.
And boom areas of Arizona and Nevada. Zandi says houses priced at the highest and lowest ends of the range will be hardest hit by the declines, as will the condo and vacation home sectors. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Beer lovers, now don't panic, but a warehouse fire in Yakima, Washington has destroyed 4% of the nation's hops yield. The fire ruined about 10,000 bales of hops and sent a pungent odor into the air. The impact on beer makers isn't clear yet. You're listening to Marketplace. Around the country this morning, in Manhattan, apartment prices are falling a little. A new report says the average price dropped 7% in the third quarter. But let's get some perspective, shall we? The average price is still $1.3 million, and that's 12% higher than a year ago. The state of Maine hopes tourists might come for a cold, hard history lesson. Scientists have unrolled a new map called the Ice Age Trail. It shows 46 places where you can find evidence that ice sheets covered Maine 20,000 years ago. The map was paid for with federal funding. In the warmer climes of Florida, the state's giving homeowners a break on their windstorm insurance. People who install shutters or impact windows or take other steps to make their homes wind-resistant can double their insurance discount. Insurers who don't want to give the discount will have to get special permission. The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Organization for Rare Disorders, mission to identify, treat, and cure overlooked and undertreated health conditions. More at rarediseases.org. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, hosting its Workplace Diversity Conference and Exposition in Los Angeles, October 16th through the 18th. shrm.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Almost every day, we could tell you some new thing Walmart is up to. This week, we found out the retailer may push for a cheaper, more flexible workforce. It wants to cap wages and boost part-time employment. Before that, Walmart announced a plan to offer low-cost prescription drugs. And the company doesn't shy away from politics either. Last week, it started handing out voter registration cards to workers. Commentator Newt Gingrich weighs in on that.
Why shouldn't Walmart help its employees register to vote? After all, it's been helpful in so many other ways. Government has been trying for years to help Americans afford prescription drugs, but Walmart's huge economies of scale enable it to offer a one-month supply of generics for as little as $4. Government gives away billions of dollars in foreign aid every year, not all of it reaching the people it was intended for because of corruption. But Walmart lifts about 38,000 Chinese out of poverty every month by buying the $23 billion in Chinese goods they make every year for export. Uncle Sam offers low-income Americans over $28 billion in food stamps each year, but it's Walmart that saves its customers over $200 billion a year by offering lower-priced, higher-quality goods. The fact is, Walmart improves the quality of life for 180 million Americans each week at lower cost. Free choice and free markets help consumers, and Walmart proves it. Now it's offering one more tool for empowerment. It's educating employees on candidates and whether the positions they take are pro-jobs. Research by the Business Institute for Political Analysis, an industry-supported group, shows that employers are one of the most trusted sources of political information for their workers. The Institute supports pro-business congressional candidates. That's something employees can understand. Their livelihood depends on pro-business policies. Of course, how employees decide to vote is completely up to them. Walmart is providing every employee with a voter registration form and postage, and they're giving out the League of Women Voters pamphlet on how to make sure your vote counts on Election Day. Who knows? If Walmart is successful, it might just register the very voters that could put failing bureaucracies and inefficient federal agencies out of business.
Newt Gingrich was the Speaker of the House from 1995 to 1999. Share your thoughts with us. Log on to our website, marketplace.org, and send us an email. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
There's a software program out there that
the world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.